In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, today we are feasting for Saint Palamas. And we wonder why is Palamas now, and what is Palamas, how he is related to the Great Lent. So indeed, in order to understand those things, why last week we had celebrated the icons, or the triumph of Orthodoxy, and now Palamas, it should be within a certain sphere, or a certain path, a path road, that we have started Lent. And indeed, it is like that. The Church is putting us on a path which will be leading us to the resurrection of Christ. And this path has to be correctly set. So we started, if you remember, by the Pharisee and the tax collector, where the Pharisee was happy of what all he is doing, as most of the people now are happy and think they are going to heaven because they are good. And we see that he was condemned. It doesn't matter what do you feel about yourself. It matters if you are asking the mercy of God on you. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have pity on me. That was counted. Then we went to the prodigal son, the one who went and who recognized himself that he was away. And we saw that he went within himself. And if he did not do this, he would not have not thought to go back. Because he went to himself and he looked around and he realized that he was completely out. And therefore we know the story how he went back and he was restored. Then we heard the judgment day, the Sunday of the judgment. And the judgment was about the pity. If we have pity and if we are merciful towards our neighbor, this will be counting. And it's not only praying and going to church and etc., etc. The pity, the alms that we should give to the poor and the needy, which counting. Then we went into the forgiveness and asking forgiveness of each other. And then we started this Lent. And then we celebrated the triumph of Orthodoxy. Not the triumph of the Orthodox against the others. The triumph of Orthodoxy and of the Orthodoxy of worship and of the Orthodoxy in the Revelation and in understanding correctly the Revelation. In understanding that because God got incarnate, we can now paint him, we can now write icon for him because of his incarnation. And because also he gave glory to those who believe in him, his glory, we can also write icons for them because they have been glorified by his glory. And today we are coming to not the way of worship, but to the inside way of worship, inside way of believing and doing. It's not only external through our icons. Orthodoxy is also internal, how we believe and how we act. So next week we'll be celebrating the cross in order to set out our focus again on the source of our joy. It is coming from the cross of the Lord. And after it, we'll continue with this schema. We will be celebrating the Orthodox in asceticism, and we'll be remembering John the Leader. And this asceticism is not only for the monks. And if we believe that this is for the monks only, we are completely wrong. And I will tell you one story about Saint Anthony the Great. Anthony the Great, he through asceticism in the desert. He reached to a place where the devil were fleeing from him, even they were fleeing from his shadow. And he looked to God and said, God, is there anybody like me on earth now? Look, devils are fleeing. He told him, go to a place in the center of the city and you will find there a shoemaker sitting just in the crowd, and he is better than you and higher than you. He went there and he saw a shoemaker, and he told him, what do you do? He said, in the morning I go, I pray, and I come, I work here all day long. I get what the people can pay for the repair of their shoes or for their shoes. And going home, I buy what is necessary for my home. And all what is remaining with me, I give it to the poor. And I entered home having only what is needed for me. He told him, bless me. Who is saying bless me? Saint Anthony the Great is asking the blessing of the shoemaker. And he went back. So the orthodoxy is setting us correctly on the path toward the right way of fasting, the right way of worshiping. And then at the last we go to Mary of Egypt. Mary of Egypt is right application of all what the church has been teaching us. It is through the veneration of the cross, through seeing the Theotokos icon. She took the road of ascetic way towards the healing, her illumination, and her glorification when she was still living on earth. And therefore she is a model. We put her at the last, the model, because she applied all what the church has been teaching in Mary. And then you see the Holy Week, and we continue, etc., until Pascha. But within this complete scheme that is leading us through the path of healing from passion to illumination to glorification, we will examine today the true Orthodox spirituality with Saint Palamas. Now you understand why Palamas is here. He is one part of the all. Today we are celebrating the right doctrine, the right faith, the right life, the right worship from inside. So the worship from the outside through the icons, and today the worship from the inside and the setting up of our mind correctly. So from the beginning the Lord told us, only the pure can see God. So God cannot be understood and reach through faith and reasoning only, and then through contemplation. We believe and we start to contemplate about Him, and we start to understand Him, and through this understanding we are saved. This does not lead us to anywhere. The reasoning of God cannot be a tool to understand God and to reach salvation at all. The only way for salvation is healing and purification of our heart. Because when our hearts are pure, we can see God, and once we see God, we are there. We need to continue. We are always falling and going up, but we know that we have fallen, and we know how to go back. So, another issue also, it is important to understand that God did not send his son in order to save us from himself. He is coming to deliver us from the wrath of God against sin. This is what we hear on TV from all what are saying all around. God cleans you and heals you and puts you apart, and he gives you the liberation from the wrath of God. Come on, God sent his son to save us from what? And we should understand where we are and what type of salvation do we need. We don't need to be saved from the wrath of God because God loves us in the first place. Through sin, we have been captive. We are captive to sin. We are captive to the devil. All our world has been put under the domination of sin. We cannot do what is right to be done because we are dominated by this enemy who is capturing us. And God sent His Son to liberate us from the enemy and to liberate us from our being, from our old being, from our way of thinking, from our way to going against God. So the enemy is not God. Made rightful with. No. It's the opposite way. It's another way of thinking that Orthodoxy is presenting it to us. So Christ defeated the devil on the cross once for all. But if the devil has been defeated, what are we doing? Yes, through baptism, we are delivered from the bind of sin. We are made righteous, redeemed, and we got the power to crush the devil under our feet. And this prayer, we say it there. Grant him to crush the devil under his feet. We are saying it for the one who is going to be baptized. We are getting power to crush the devil through baptism. We became warriors, not in a known status of a war. We are warriors in a war that has been already completed and won for the Lord, but we are still fighting with some remnants who are trying to steal our victory, who are going to steal from us the glory that God has given us through baptism, the glory that had been restored, the image of Him. They want to steal it from us again and again. We are warriors, yes, but who is the enemy? How many enemies do we have? Are they internal? Are they external? What type of enemy are we fighting with? We are armors, yes. We are fighters. What is our armors? What are our weapons? And which weapon is to be used against which enemy? This is all about Orthodoxy. Orthodoxy wants to make us warriors in the right way, teaching us how to fight, showing us the armors that we have on our hand, and sometimes we ignore that we have them, and therefore we enter into the fight and we get defeated every day, because we are not using correctly the armor of God that He has granted us. And sometimes because we don't know who is the enemy, and the enemy can be sitting next to us, and he is defeating us because we are not recognizing him. And this is the misery. And Orthodoxy is coming to teach us how to be a good warrior and how to be always conqueror in Christ. So Orthodoxy is so simple that people cannot grasp, because they want complicated theory, complicated theology, complicated mental struggle. It is the unreachable simplicity. Orthodoxy is simple. And by the way, what does Orthodoxy mean? Orthodoxy, ortho is straight and doxa is glory. So it is the straight glory. It is the straight way to glorify God. And it is also the straight way to regain our lost glory in the image of the lost glory of the image of God in us. So it is all about the glory. And many times we translated, it is the straight opinion. Who cares about the opinion only if the opinion is not leading you to the glory? We are Orthodox because we worship God in glory, and we are pursuing our lost glory to regain it. This is Orthodoxy. And therefore, this is the setup of all what we are doing during this Lent. Another issue Palamas wants to tell us, this personal relationship. And I tell you that every religion that is impersonal, there is no personal relationship in it, can only lead to destruction. It is a disaster. As if you are a drop of water and you are going back to the sea, you are lost. And many people think like that. God is something great, and we are a drop of waters. He is a father, yes, he is a father, because the sea is the father of every drop of water on earth. And you are going back to our father, but as the drop of water goes to the sea, it is lost. Who can put it together again? And this is completely nonsense, for the simple reason that God is uncreated, and we are created, and we cannot mix a creation with the uncreation. It's completely nonsense for this simple reason. So I was talking once to a lady. She comes to church every week. And when I told her God is a person and the relationship with him is a paternal relationship, it's from a person to a person, she was amazed. What are you talking about? God is a person? Yes, God is a person. And when we say he is a father, he is a father. He loves us like a father loves his children. And this is what Christ told us. And when I say about personal, about the person, it's not the individual. Because there is a great compromise. There is a great confusion between the person in the Orthodox way of thinking and the individual in the worldly way of thinking, and I will not enter into it now. Now, I will continue also to say that Palamas has fought against God as concept. God is not a concept, he is a person. The relationship with him is not conceptual, first by faith, and then we start reasoning and we reach God by the reason. He is a living God, a personal one. The relationship is fully experienced in the life of the one who believes. We go through experience in the living God, and we are built by this experience. And this is what Palamas was fighting against. So the dogma itself is not to be understood. It only gives a correct orientation of the thought and of the heart toward God. Therefore, St. Gregory's theologian says, it is impossible to express God, and even more impossible to conceive him. How can we talk and dogmatize about something that we cannot even conceive? So the dogma is giving us an orientation. The fathers did not sit down and let us write our dogma. When they were hearing something wrong, they were correcting it. So our dogma in the Orthodox Church is corrective. And the right dogma is coming from the experience of the saints who have reached and saw God, saw the light of God in their life and were glorified through him. So it is a complete way of setting our mind in Orthodoxy. So if he is not, if we cannot conceive him, this does not mean we cannot have this personal relationship with him as a father, and to be united with him through the sacraments and also through his uncreated energy and uncreated light, like the light that shone from him on Mount Tabor. So God, he is here to save us. Once our hearts become pure, we can see him because it's his promise. So all what we have around us are concepts about God. The Bible is full of concepts about him. It contains words from him, it contains words about him, but still when he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And when he says in another place also, assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What is this word that gives life? What is this voice that gives life to those who hear? Why some can hear and others cannot hear? How can we hear? What type of hearing is Christ talking about? Answering these questions is all what orthodoxy is about. And this is the teaching of Palamas for us today. So I invite you to follow this season attentively in this retreat that the Church has set for us for the renewal of our baptismal vows and our baptismal life that we have taken already from the font of baptism, to re-put ourselves in this purification of our heart so that we could see and hear God as he promised that every pure heart shall see him and hear him too. Amen.